Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, Pat Storey is the Church of Ireland Bishop of Meath and Kildare. At the time of her election in 2013, she became the first woman bishop in Ireland. And more than 7 years later, she remains the first and only woman in such a role. And Bishop Storey joins me now from Maynooth. Pat Storey, good morning to you.
Good morning, Miriam. How are you?
It's so lovely to speak to you. I'm great. Now, listen, where does the bishop find herself in the middle of level 5 lockdown?
Well, the same as everybody else, fairly alone, apart from my wonderful husband. But I'm very lucky in that I live in a gorgeous place just outside of Maynooth with horses around and bird watching. And so I could be in much worse places, but it is lonesome.
Now, listen, tell our listeners, what's your background, Pat? Were you raised in the Church of Ireland?
No, I certainly wasn't. Miriam, I wasn't raised in church at all. So sometimes people are surprised to hear that when they see a collar around your neck, and particularly a purple shirt, they think you must have been enmeshed in religion from you were born. But actually, I came from a family that didn't go to church at all. I think I was thrown into church a couple of times for Sunday school as I grew up. I remember reading in church for the Brownies once, and that's about it. So I was probably in church a handful of times my entire childhood and adolescence.
And what religion were your parents, Pat?
They were very nominally Presbyterian, but really my family hadn't gone to church for generations. So it was a long, long time. And then my grandfather, I remember in his later years, started to go to church, and I was there once or twice with him, but a fairly unchurched family for a long time.
Now, I know your parents, they're no longer with you, but if I was able to ask them, what kind of child was young Patricia Shaw? How might they describe you?
Well, I think they would say that it was cheeky, that I was extrovert, that I fought with my brother nonstop. Stephen and I didn't get on very well until we were adults, and now we're very close and very tight, which is lovely. And I think I didn't much enjoy school, to be honest, Miriam, until the later years. So I'd say they had their own struggles.
And how might someone like your husband describe you?
Now, we've had a discussion recently where I have said that I am strong-minded, and he has said, "You mean stubborn." So that, you know, we're still chatting about that. Naturally, he's wrong. I'm just strong-minded. So I think he would say that I'm a people person. I think he would say that I hope I would say that I'm a caring person. He gets his meals on the table now at 6 o'clock, which doesn't happen when I'm working normally, I have to say. I think he would say that I probably don't mind difficult conversations, and that's actually quite important in this role.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I just mean that in leadership of any kind, and in church leadership is no different, there are always difficult conversations to be had. So maybe a congregation has some conflict, or a congregation and their rector have some conflict, or there's a conversation you need to have with somebody else who's in trouble in school. Do you know, there's lots of things that crop up on a weekly basis where you would have to lift the phone and have a difficult conversation. I think that's just part of leadership.
Now, when you left school, Methody, I think, in Belfast.
That's right.
What did you want to be, and what was your original intention when you left?
So from I was about 4, I grew up wanting to be an air hostess. I had a very glamorous aunt who used to come in those days in her BOAC uniform. So that puts my timings back. And she was a very attractive woman as well. And I used to look at her and think, she flies all around the world. She looks like that. That sounds like a great life. And as well, the only thing I was really good at in school was probably English and languages. And so I went to college to do English and French with the full intention of being an air hostess.
And what happened?
Well, in my first year in college, I began, like many 18 and 19 year olds, to explore, you know, is there more meaning to life that I haven't found yet? Began to explore faith and God. I lived with somebody who was a very committed Christian and had Christian friends. So I was probably introduced for the first time to people with a living faith who talked about it. And that just kind of wore on me gently. And I began to read the Gospels. And I think that was the key moment for me where I just felt that I just really liked Jesus. I just thought, you know, he brought a lot to life and to purpose.
It's kind of interesting, though, Pat, because most people who go to university, not all, but most people, you went to Trinity, right? Like, it's not that they go wild, but they often become more secular. But the opposite happened to you, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And, you know, maybe you always rebel from what your parents gave you. I don't know. So, yeah, I did go in the opposite. But I do think actually that at that age in life, you know, a young adult, like a lot of people are searching for meaning and purpose, and it takes us all in different directions. It took me in that one.
And attending the Christian Union, you know, in Trinity, it didn't just renew your faith. You also found Earl there, your husband, didn't you?
I did find Earl there. Yes, I did. Earl was studying for ministry and I was doing my primary degree in English and French. And we were really good friends for a long time. And then he got me out and I thought, but, you know, we're just good friends. And then he went away for the summer and I thought, I think I like this guy. And so when he came home, I had to grovel a bit. But we've lasted 37 years, so we're doing okay.
And at what stage? So he became a priest, right? At what stage? I think he's still currently, isn't he, chaplain to the Irish Army these days, isn't he?
He is, that's right. Yes, he is, yes.
So what stage did you think? I think I'd quite like to be one too.
I think their kids were very small and I was a full-time mum and I enjoyed that. But I did begin to think, you know, I would love more fulfillment, probably. I thought of teaching and I thought of ministry and I thought, well, two people doing ministry in the same family like that won't work. So it took us a long time to work that out. And then we eventually just decided, look, I'll apply and I'll push the door. And if it closes, then that's that decided. And, you know, strangely, the door opened. So I did applied for ministry, got into ministry and started training for and started a theology degree when my children were 7 and 3. And that was no joke.
Yeah, tough going. But listen, they were also the early days for women priests in the Church of Ireland.
Yes, they were.
There many women like you trying to get into ministry at that time?
I mean, interestingly, in the year that I was in, there were 15 of us and half of us were women. I know that means 7.5, so that doesn't quite work, but it was almost 50% were women in my year, but that wouldn't have been a typical year. And all ages as well, it was you know, a really eclectic group and actually great fun. I really enjoyed my training years. So I went in to study in 97, so about 7 years after the vote on women in ministry. So I would say there'd been probably a contingent of women before me who maybe faced harder times than I did. I mean, I'd have to say that I've honestly had a good run with very little difficulties and very few difficulties. And I'm not sure that could be said for those who went in a bit earlier than me.
So how did the bishop thing come about? How did you become a bishop?
I keep asking that question, Miriam. I was a parish rector in Derry, in city centre Derry, which I loved, and my children were there as well, and probably just wouldn't have moved, wasn't thinking of moving. And I just got a phone call to say that I'd been elected as Bishop of Meath and Kildare, and I thought, what?
And had you
such a shock getting that phone call.
Had you applied for it?
No, not at all. I mean, I had no notion that my name was even in the mix. So, I mean, it genuinely was one of the biggest surprises of my life. And I suppose Earl and I had to sit down and say, will this work for us as a family? You know, because this time we had to leave our kids behind. And that was, you know, that's no joke. You have to be very serious. So I suppose I just felt, I mean, Richard Clark, who was the Archbishop of Armagh at the time, who rang me, he just said, look, Pat, trust the process. And that actually really helped me to trust that if I didn't know what was happening, that other people did.
And what did your family think of you becoming a bishop pass?
I think they were nice. You know, my father was actually holidaying in Madeira at the time. And I rang him to tell him, and he said that he cried, which is not like my dad. He cried. I mean, to the point that he would have driven you mad, you know, when we went out for lunch afterwards, he would have told the waitress that his daughter was a bishop. And I used to think, oh, Dad, you know, she's not interested. So, yeah, he was very proud.
Now, there are lots of funny stories. I was laughing even this morning reading them again about people find it hard to believe still that a woman is a bishop.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of my favourites was when I was at a bishop's meeting with the Welsh and Scottish and Irish bishops. And the Irish bishops arrived early and we're all sitting at dinner. And one of the other bishops from one of the other nations came over, came straight to me and said, you know, I've just been at reception and my room isn't ready. And I said, oh, OK. And then the bishop beside me said, oh, no, 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 this isn't our secretary. And he said, oh, I'm very sorry. And he put out his hand and he said, you must be one of the wives. And we just all laughed. And he was mortified. And I've met him since and he's still mortified. But we all make assumptions, don't we? You know, because history takes a long time to change. And I think those things are better dealt with a laugh. And he's more embarrassed than I was.
And even past going into banks, tell me about that. You know, I think I read you went into a bank and when you go in and present a check.
I went in and presented a check and I think it was Bishop Story it was written to and I handed it over. And the girl kind of smiled at me and pushed it back over the thing and said, I'm sorry, the bishop is going to have to sign that himself. And I just smiled and pushed it back to her and said, well, I am he. And she, again, mortified, you know, I think people are so embarrassed when they make assumptions. And so am I, because I do it. So I think there's no point in shaming people. You know, you laugh, you make the point and you move on.
And the driver's licence?
Yeah, went in to get my driver's license renewed a couple of years ago. And the guy looked at the address and said, oh, he said, that must be so exciting living with a bishop. And I smiled and said, well, you'd have to ask my husband that. And it took him a minute or two, I think, to get it. So these little things, they happen all the time because I suppose I'm still 1 in 12. And the Church of Ireland obviously is a minority in the Republic. And so people just aren't used to seeing a woman in a clerical collar, never mind a bishop. So it's understandable.
And I suppose, Pat, as a woman occupying what is a traditionally male role, have you received much sexist commentary or treatment? I mean, those stories are funny. They're accidental, unintentional. But do you get much sexist comment?
I genuinely don't, Miriam. Now, whether it goes over my head and I don't look for offence, I don't know. If you talk to another woman in ministry, you might get a very different answer because I know that, you know, through surveys and things that women do get opposition. But I've been very fortunate.
Interesting. I mean, I suppose, though, this is 2021. 1 in 5 Church of Ireland clergy is female, which is great compared to other churches in this state. But are you surprised that you're still the lone bishop?
I am a bit. Yes, I am. And funny enough, I've just been, because women are ordained 30 years this year, I was put on to lead a group about women in ministry and their progress or lack of it. And I would say we've come a long way with still a long way to go. And part of that is because women take the easier option to ministry, which for us would be non-stipendiary, you know, basically unpaid or ordained local ministry, which means you stay in your area. And much of the barriers are really, they're things like motherhood. You know, you can't change the biology. So a woman has to take time out. I know I considered it, you know, when my kids were 7 and 3, I considered it very carefully before I went in because, and that's a question, you know, men never ask because they don't have to, you know, they don't, if they've kids of 7 and 3, they never think, well, will I do this? How will it affect the family if I do this profession? Whereas women, and particularly women, I suppose, who are mothers, are constantly asking that question. And like women in any profession are constantly feeling guilty about that too.
Absolutely. And listen, the future, what are your plans? I mean, I gather you're a great swimmer as well. You love to swim, Pat.
I do, but I'm not doing that at the minute. And I love, one of the hobbies that I'm able to continue is I'm in a writer's group here in Maynooth who are a great bunch. And we are able to do that virtually. So we're hooking up every fortnight and we share our writing, which is mostly for me, short stories and poetry. I'm not able to swim. I think I may have just broken my husband into getting another dog. So really looking forward to that if it happens. So trying to continue life as much as it's possible. But the job is very, very different, Miriam, as it is for many people, and quite isolating. And there are days when I do get very down, like everybody else. But my personal faith has really carried me through this. And it genuinely has. You know, it's just been something that's made me feel so much less alone than I would have. And I'm very grateful for that. I do believe that the gospel is still good news.
Well, look, very Reverend Pat Storey, Church of Ireland, Bishop of Meath and Kildare. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak to me this morning, Pat.
You're more than welcome, Miriam. God bless.
You too. Mind yourself.